All right, Tabasai, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Kuf Dalid 104. We're starting. I have a lot to do today. Okay. So we are starting Tashma. Actually, not so bad. Tashma 14 lines up from the bottom. So Tashma, just to reorient ourselves a little bit, remember, we were discussing the interesting machlokes as to whether or not you could use a shoe for tzaras that is afflicted, whether or not you could use a shoe for chalitza that is afflicted with tzaras. We had a machlokes. So the first opinion, Rav Papi said that a sandal hamusker, which is a shoe that is essentially in isolation to see if it definitely has saras or not, that could be used for a chalitza. But what we call a sandal mukhlat, which is a shoe that definitely has saras, that essentially has to be destroyed, cannot be used for a chalitza. And the logic behind that seemed to be that once it's mukhlat, once it definitively has saras, so therefore it's as if it's already been destroyed, therefore it lacks the requisite shear, and therefore it can't be used for a chalitza. On the other hand, the second opinion said, no, that bidi eved, both can be used for a chalitza. So the Gemara says, Tashma, mat lishish bo shalosh al shalosh, if you have a piece of material that is three finger breadths by three finger breadths. Well, so we've learned this before. That's the minimum shear of a piece of material to be mekabel tumah. Afa pisha in bo kizayis, even though it does not have a kizayis. Now, I'll say what it means, it doesn't have the volume of a kizayis. Kevan shenichnas ruba labayis atarim tamah. So this is actually very interesting. So this is a piece of material that has saras. Now, I will say saras essentially has the status of tumas meis. The same way that a corpse only conveys tumah, there's a kizayis of the corpse. So too, a piece of cloth afflicted with saras will only convey tumah within an ohel, within a structure, to all the utensils within a home, if it also has the volume of a kizayis. So the Gemara says, so what happens? So you take a cloth that shalosh al shalosh, but it doesn't have a kizayis. Kevan shenichnas l'ruba, kevan shenichnas ruba l'bayis tahar, once the majority of that cloth entered in to a home that is tahar, temaso. So it goes ahead and it makes the house tame. So the Gemara says, my love mukhletes, are we not referring to mukhletes, a piece of cloth that is definitively has saras? Lo muskeres. No, we're talking about a piece of cloth that may or may not have saras. Ihachi, if that's the case, Ema Seifa, look at the end that says, Hayuba kama zesim, if the piece of cloth had the volume of a number of zesim, of kizesim, kevan shenich nesim, and a kizayis labayis tahar tamaso, once a kizayis of the cloth enters into the home, it renders the home impure. Now, when we say renders the home impure, what we really mean is it renders the kalim, the utensils inside the home impure. I amrit bishlama mukhlates, if you say that the cloth itself is definitively tami with saras, hainu de iskish lames, then I understand why it's compared, why the tumah of the cloth is compared to the tumah of the mace. Kuf gimel amud beis, seven lines up from the bottom. Ela I amrit muskeres, but if you just say that it is muskeres, that it's secluded, meaning we're looking to see if that's saras or not, amai iskish lames, then ultimately why would such a cloth even be compared to a mace at all? It has not yet been definitively declared as having saras. To which the Gemara says, shiny hasam, do amakra, visaraf es habeged. It's different there, because the pasuk says that when destroying a cloth or a garment or an item that has saras, the Torah says you shall destroy the beged. Afilu bishas srefa karui beged. Even at the time that it is burned, it is still called a beged. So meaning that there's the exception over that here, even though it's only to be destroyed, it still retains its identity as a beged. To which the Gemara says, "Veligmar mine." So why do we learn from here that even things that are to be destroyed ultimately against are still considered to possess their requisite shear? To which the Gemara says, "Ister mituma lo gar minon," because we do not learn out of outside general prohibitions from the halachos of tuma. Amar Rava, hilchasa. Echad sandalam hamuskar ve'echad sandalam shemuchlat. So bosai halacha lemaisa, what do we say? That whether you're using a sandal hamuskar, which means a sandal that has been definitively declared as tsarua, or sandal hamuchlat, which is the sandal that is set aside, it's in seclusion this even as saras, ve'echad sandal shalavodas kochavim, or if you went ahead and you used the sandal of idolatry, lo tachlos. So in all of these cases, one should not go ahead and use it for a chalitza. Then chalitza, but if you used it, chalitza sekshera. Bidi eved, the chalitza is kosher. And that's the halacha lemaisa that Rava espouses. So the Gemara says, shaltak, Rava savalus kochavim, top of kof dalet. But if it was of takrovos shel avodos kochavim. Now we're saying, now what's the chilik between shel avodos kochavim or shel takrovos shel avodos kochavim? So shel avodos kochavim means, you know what, I'm mamish, I love my idolatry so much that I want to give my idolatry my favorite pair of shoes. So that's avodos kochavim. Takrovos avodos kochavim means I literally offered up the sandal to my avodah zara. I've used it in the service of my avodah zara. So now, when Rava said that b'di eved you could use the sandal of avodah zara, that's the sandal that's pledged to avodah zara. But if the sandal was actually used for worship, shel takrovos avodos kochavim, top of kovdalit, v'shel ir nidachas, right? Or the sandal of an ir nidachas, which, remember again, ir nidachas is a city whose inhabitants have all worshipped idolatry and therefore have to be destroyed. V'shel zokin ha'asui lichvodo. If you look at Rashi, or for that matter, a sandal that was used for an elder person that is going to be used for his kavod, Chabosa is a euphemism that it was put a set aside for tachrichim. Now, what's interesting is, again, remember, burial practices have evolved a lot since the time of the Gemara, since the beginning of the Gemara. See, now we have very standardized burial practices. But again, that was instituted by Rebbe. Before that, again, burial practices depended on your wealth and your station in life. So you had someone who went ahead and he set aside some sandals. Ultimately, I want to be buried in these sandals, right? They go with my outfit, right? Whatever it is. So again, that's a zekhan esoy lechvodo, lo tachlos. You can't use these for chalitza. Vim cholza, and if you did chalitza with them, then what? Chalitza sapsula. Then ultimately, again, such a chalitza as pasach. As I was saying, all of these cases, remember, whether it's used for the worship of Avodah Zarah or Ir Nidachas, these are things that have to actively be destroyed. Therefore, they lack requisite shear. Or again, something that is set aside for the needs of the dead, one cannot get any kind of benefit from. So with these, if you did chalitza with them, even b'diavad is possible. Amar Rav Yehuda Ravashi, Mashna Zakinasu Lichvodo, Dilav Lihilucha Avid, Debei Dina, Nami Lav Lihilucha Avid. So why is it that you can't use the sandal that was set aside for the tachrichim of an older person? So the Gemara assumes now the reason you can't use it is because it's not a real shoe used for walking. And for chalitza, you have to use a shoe that's usable for walking. So Gemara says, 1 second. But we learned already before that Beis Din would actually have a spare shoe. They'd have a chalitza shoe. This way, again, remember, because also, let's say the Yavam doesn't have a shoe that conforms to the requirements that we've said. So Beis Din would have a chalitza shoe. So Beis Din's chalitza shoe is also not used for walking. So then how could that be used for chalitza? To which the Gemara says, Amalei, Ilu maski be shlucha de beidina mi kapila idaino. Had if the shliach of the Beis Din said, you know, the messenger said while he was going out on errands to the Beis Din, you know what? Those sandals, they look really comfortable. Would you mind just if I borrowed them to go out and do my errand? Would the Beis Din mind? So of course the answer is no. So because technically speaking they're all made to be used for walking, therefore they're considered to be a walking shoe. Masha Inkain, the shoes in which a person is going to be buried in, those are not all made for walking at all, and therefore cannot be used for chalitza. So say halacha lemaisa, what comes out of this particular sugya is that whether you have a sandal muskras, we paskin like Rava. So whether you have a sandal muskras, sandal muchlat, a sandal that has definitive tzaras, possible tzaras, lechatchila you shouldn't use it for chalitza, but b'dieved, if you used either of them, the chalitza is kasher. If you used a sandal that was donated to Avodah Zarah, b'dieved kasher, but sandal actively used for Avodah Zarah, or of Ir Nidachas, or for Tachrichim, those cannot be used. Says the Mishnah, Chotza b'layla chalitza sekshera, if you did chalitza at night, the chalitza is kasher. Rabbi Elazar posel. Rabbi Elazar says that the chalitza is posel. Bismol, what if you did chalitza with the left foot of the yavam, right? The yavam took, or they should say the yavama took the left shoe off of the yavama. So what's the halacha? Chalitza sapsulam, the chalitza is no good. Rabbi Elazar Mash, Rabbi Elazar says, no, it's good. Says the gemar leim b'hakam iflegi, what's the machlokes? Now first we're starting with the chalitza balayla. So what is the nature of this dispute? Leim b'hakam iflegi, demar savar, makshinan rivim lenigoyim. Umar savar, lo makshinan rivim lenigoyim. So we'll say the shayla is, do we go ahead and equate the adjudication of cases? Rivim literally means disputes. If you look at Rashi, he says over here, Linigoim, Ko Riv v'chol mega, Ma negoim ri'iyasam b'yom, D'chse b'yom hayra ospo, Af rivim b'yom v'chalitza dinhu, D'go v'ksuva. So we'll say, listen to this. So on one hand, the Torah discusses Ko Riv v'chol mega. So the Torah equates the Beis Din's involvement in negoim, the deciding of tzaras, and Riv. Now, Riv doesn't just have to mean dispute, but Riv rather, if we apply it in a general sense, means any case that needs to be adjudicated by Beis Din. So for what purpose does the Torah lump those two things together? Perhaps to tell us that the same way that you could only go ahead and look at Nega'im by day, so to what? You could only adjudicate cases by day. And the other opinion says, no, lo makshinin, we do not go ahead and equate them. Now, I will say, now, if you take this machlokis, it would appear chalitza is a riv, right? Chalitza is a case that needs to be adjudicated by Beis Din. Because remember, in the aftermath of chalitza, besides the fact that chalitza needs a Beis Din, as we saw, but in the aftermath of chalitza, she's going to collect her ksuva, which is going to be a monetary issue, requires a Beis Din. So perhaps the same way that nega'im have to be done by day, so to chalitza has to be done by day. So apparently, again, the Tanakama holds that we don't equate riv with nega, and Rabbi Elazar says we do. To which the Gemara says, lo, duchuli amalo makshin riv l'nega'im. No, it's not true. In reality, we do not equate all cases that Beis Din adjudicates with tzaras, the imak shina, because if we really equate them, afilu gemar din balayla namilo, then Abosa, you wouldn't even be able to do a gemar din. Now, what does this mean? There's a halach like this. Now, we paskin that at the end of the day, you really should only court, Beis Din only operates by day, but they can issue a ruling at night, meaning that if the Beis Din began its adjudication process by day and it extended into the night, they don't have to close shop the moment that the sun goes down. They could issue a psak din at night as well. So the Gemara says it can't be that we equate rivim with negoim, because if we would equate rivim with negoim, then what? Then lamaisa, as soon as the sun goes down, what would happen? Even if Beis Din is in the middle of a case, you have to stop. In the same way that if Beis Din is involved with saras, and then something occurs, it gets dark, night falls, that's what? That lamaisa, again, they stop what they're doing. Here's what they're arguing about. Mar savar chalitza. So now let's go with what they agree on. So everybody's agreeing that we don't equate rivim with negoim. Everyone also agrees on another point, which is that a psak din could be issued at night from a court case that began by day. Right, so a court's decision could be issued at night from a court case that began by day. So what are they arguing about in the Mishnah? Oh, what are they arguing about? They're arguing about the nature of chalitza. Is chalitza kitchilas din? Or is chalitza kigimar din? Is chalitza like the beginning of a process or the end of a process? The Rabbos say, What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is, can you do it at night? If it's tetchilas din, you can't start a new case at night. On the other hand, if chalitza is really the end of a process, so meaning, say it differently, is it the beginning of a process or is it the end of a process? It's a good chakira. If it's the beginning of a process, then you can't do it at night. If it's the end of a process, you absolutely can. And the Gemara is suggesting that's the machlokis Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Bar Chiya katusfa, avad uvda bemok, ubi yechidi ubalayla. So we'll say, Rabbi Bar Chiya from Katusfa. So Katusfa is a place, or Katusfa is a place. So what happened? He did chalitza bemok. So we had mok yesterday. Mok is a felt shoe. See, of course, so he did chalitza with a non-leather shoe, ubi yechidi, and he also did it alone, right? Meaning he didn't use a Beis Din. Ubalayla, and he did it at night. Okay, so watch this. We'll say, so the Gemara says, so the Gemara is Amr Shmuel. So Shmuel said, "Kama Rav Guvrei David Ki Yechidai." Look how great this man is that he decided halacha on his own. Rashi says over Kama Rav Guvrei Beloshon Ginai Amra. In other words, Shmuel was not giving Rabba a compliment. Right? Shmuel said, "Oh, the Gadol Hador Paskin, right? The Gadol Hador decided what he's going to do." So Shmuel was a little bit upset. Now, you have to understand something. You see, we have machlokes in halacha all the time. The difference is that in times of the Gemara, people had a machlokes. Understand that this was before the establishment of many of these halachos. This is what's happening in Gemara. So people see a great, it's even today, people see a great person doing something. Well, I guess today people see a great person do something, they automatically assume he's doing something wrong. Yeah, that's the difference in the climate today. But at times, thinking about people saw a great person doing something, they automatically assumed that what he was doing was halacha. So Shmuel's really upset because this man, Rabba, is coming along and doing all this stuff, and this is against the normal protocol. So Shmuel's upset. So my kasha, so what's Shmuel's problem? Imok, if it's the fact that Rabba Bar Chiya used the mok, the felt shoe. So stomatanya, the truth is, we do have a brisa that supports that. right? We do have a Stam Mishnah that supports the use of a mok. Okay, even though it might not be the majority opinion, he's not making it up. There is a Stam Mishnah, Elilah, and if you want to say he was upset that he was doing Yibum at night, or he's using Chalitza at night, then again, Stamatanya, we have a Stam Mishnah. Eli Yechid, meaning that supports this. Eli Yechid de Kashile. Rather, what he was upset about was the fact that Rabbi Bar Chiya was doing this as a Yochid, as an individual that I based in. Hechi Avid Bi Yechidi. So how is he able to go ahead and do it alone? So the truth is, again, there is an opinion that supports this. Rashi says, as we're going to see, there is a Mishnah that supports this process of doing chalitza with one person. What's the case? If he did chalitza in front of two people or three people, and it turns out that one of the people there was a karov. We will see this. This we're going to actually see this case on Ahmed Beis, that she did chalitza in front of two or three people, and it turns out that one of them was a karov or apostle, and therefore again not fit to be on the Beis Din. Chalitza sapsula, the chalitza ultimately again is pasul. Reb Shimon, Reb Yochanan Sandler, machshirin, and Reb Shimon, Reb Yochanan Sandler hold that no, the chalitza is kasher. And there was once an episode where a man and woman did chalitza between one another, right? They did chalitza themselves, and they were both incarcerated for whatever the reason. And what happened? And this episode came before Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva said the chalitza is kosher. The Amar Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi, Amar Rav Nachman, Ein Halacha Kaosa Hazog, and Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi said in Rav Nachman that the halacha does not follow this pair. Rabbi said the pair that he's referring to over here is Rav Shimon and Rabbi Yochanan Hasandler, who say that Lamaisa, even if you didn't do chalitza in front of a Beis Din, that the chalitza is kosher. So the Gemara said, so remember again, so Lamaisa, what the Gemara is pointing out is, look, Rabbi Bar Chiya is not making this stuff up. There's a Stam Mishnah that supports the use of mok, the felt shoe. There's a Stam Mishnah that supports laila, nighttime. And there is an opinion, actually two opinions, who holds that what? That you need not do chalitza in front of a Beis Din. So what is Shmuel? Let's say I had Rabbi not done this. So these opinions exist. So why is Shmuel getting all upset at Rabbi? V'baisema, perhaps you'll say, kul hunami yechida. Perhaps you'll say that Lemaisa, again, all of these cases represent the Das Yochid. So the Gemara says, Kulunami Yechidai Katanilhu, Desanya Amrabi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Aniri Isi, Rabbi Shmuel Ben Alisha, Shechalatz Pamok, Biyechidi Ubalaila. Or perhaps, no, what's happening over here is in reality, Rabbah was really holding like a Das Yochid, that there is this opinion of Rabbi Shmuel Ben Alisha, who actually did this. He did Chalitza for a person, or he administered Chalitza in a situation where ultimately, again, the man used the felt shoe. It was done alone, and it was done at night. So Rabbi Bar Chiya is relying on this singular opinion of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, and that is what Shmuel was getting upset about. Fine. So we'll say, just so you know, for our purposes, for the halacha from this Mishnah, so we paskin that chalitza done at night is pasul. We paskin that chalitza done at night is puzzle, but the truth is we paskin that way because lemaisa, it's not as much an idea of tchilas din or sof din, but we paskin that chalitza is a maisa beis din, because we paskin that chalitza has to be done in beis din. Once it has to be done in beis din, it's a maisa beis din, and maisa beis din has to be done by day. Therefore, chalitza done at night would have to be repeated. Says the Gemara b'smol, chalitza asa kshera. So what happens if they did chalitza with the left shoe? So remember again, this was another machlokis in the Mishnah. So the Tanakh Kama said that the chalitza is no good, and Rabbi Lazar said that the chalitza is good. Says the Gemara, my time, Rabbanon, why did the rabbis hold that the chalitza is not good? Amar ula yafinon regal mi metzora. We make a gzira shavav regal from metzora, from tzaras. Rabbi said, now remember, what is that referring to? So this is over here. This is in the purification process of the Metzorah. So the Torah discusses that, again, they have to go ahead and v'nasan ha'koyim min ha'shemen ashra kapo al tenuch ozen ha'metehar yamanis va'al bohen yado ha'yamanis va'al bohen raglo ha'yamanis. So they went ahead and they would apply oil and dam on the big toe of the right foot. So just like regel by tzara'as means right foot, so to regel by chalitza also means right foot. to which the Gemara says, Mala Landyam Avkandi, I mean, just like by Mitzorah, regal means, just like regal by Mitzorah means right foot, so to regal by Chalitza will also mean right foot. Rebbe Lazar says, Lo Yolif regal Mitzorah. Rebbe Lazar does not make this limud, right? Does not make this limud. I was saying, how does he mean it doesn't make this limud? Remember, so Gzir Shavlai doesn't come from nowhere. Right, Gzir Shav, you need a Mesorah for it. So the Gemara says Rabbi Lazar's did not have that Mesorah. No, his Rebbe never gave him that Mesorah for this particular Gzir Shava. So the Gemara says, "Vatanya, but we learn Rabbi Lazar Omer minayin l'ritzia shehi ba'ozin hayimanis b'yati avabrais." Rabbi Lazar says, "How do you know that the Rebbe said this is talking about by an Eved Ivri?" By an Eved Ivri. So an Eved Ivri wants to go ahead and stay past the 7 years. So what do? You go ahead and you pierce his ear. So how do I know that the Ritzia, that the piercing of the ear, has to take place in the right ear? Ne'emar kan ozen. It says over here ozen, by the Eved Ivri. Ve'ne'emar lahalon ozen. It says by Tzara'as ozen. Ma lahalon yomin, just like by the Mitzorah, you're placing, again, we'll say by the purification process, you're placing the oil and the dam on his right earlobe, so too, Malal, you know, Afkan, so too, when the Torah says Ozin by the Eved Ivri, it's also Yamin. Now, both say, now, why is this important? Because we already see that Rabbi Lazar is on record as making Gezer Shavas from body parts from Tzaras. So, Bepashlus, if he's making a Gezer Shava of Ozin, to teach me that Ozin by the Eved Ivri means the right ear, from Ozin from the Tzorah, then what? Then why would he not make the Gezer Shava of Regel, from the Mitzorah to Chalitza, to which the Gemara says, Amar Avitzah Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yochanan, you're right, Muchlefes HaShita, switch around the Shitos. In other words, Rabbosai, it is Rabbi Lazar who holds of the Gzeirah Shava, and the Rabbanon who do not. Fine. So the Gemara says, Rava Amar the Olam Lo Seifoch. No, in reality, you don't have to switch things around. Ozen Mufni, Regel lo mufni. So we'll say here's the difference. Rabbi said, this is important in the mechanics of a gzeir shava. In order to go ahead and create a valid gzeir shava, so the words on both ends have to be available for drasha purposes. In other words, if the words used in a gzeir shava are used for other drasha purposes, then you cannot make a gzeir shava from it. So the Gemara is suggesting that no, you don't have to switch around the shitos. And in fact, Rabbi Lazar is the one who makes a gzeir shava of ozen from tzaras to eved ivri, but yet he does not make a gzeir shava of regal from tzaras to chalitza. And why is that? Because again, ozen mufni, rega lo mufni. Because again, ozen, both ozens are open, right? Literally and figuratively, right? Both ears are open, but both feet, both regalim, are not. For our purpose now, it doesn't matter what they're used for. The point is, one of the regals is not available for drasha purposes. If it's not available for drasha purposes, then the ma'aseh can't make the gzeir shava. V'chilo mufni my pir cha'ika. So I'll say, so again, let's say it's not mufni. So what's the issue? What exactly? Rashi says, v'chilo mufni my pir cha'ika. V'hacha my pir cha'ika umehacha nafkalan b'chol duchlor b'lazer. Mufni mitzad echel medin m'shiv. So I'll say, what would be the pir cha? Now, so I'll say, without getting into the mechanics of gzeir shava, so some say that here's the difference. If you have a gzeir shava that is mufna, both words are open, that is like an irrefutable gzeir shava. But if you have a gzeir shava where only one of the words is open, but the other word is also used for something else, that gzeir shava is open to refute. To refutation. So what would be the refutation of this particular gzeir shava? My pir cha'ika, ika lemifrach shekein mitzorah, here is the pircha. The pircha is, who says that you can make a gzeirah shava from Mitzorah to what? To Chalitza. Who says you can make regal? After Rabbi Osai, they are so radically dissimilar. Why? Because the Mitzorah requires all of these other processes within the purification process. You require, again, the Eitz Erez, which is the cedar tree, the Ezov, the hyssop, the shni tolas, the piece of red thread. So because the Mitzorah requires all these other processes, that perhaps at the end of the day, it's not comparable to Chalitza. Okay, so I'll say we're left with a fundamental machlokis about this. How do we paskin? So we paskin at the end of the day that if you do Chalitza with the left shoe, such a Chalitza ultimately, again, is pasul. Pasul even b'di'evet. So again, what comes out from this Mishnah is, number one, you can't do chalitza by night, you can only do chalitza by day. Number two, chalitza could only be done with the right and not the left. Now, what we saw earlier, Gemaras, that seemed to indicate that l'maaseh, if you did with the left, that b'di'evet is kasher, and there are opinions like that as well. Says the Mishnah, chotza urakaka aval lo kara. Now, we'll say, now here's something very interesting. There are essentially three parts to the chalitza process. There is the removal of the shoe. There is the spitting towards the yavam, and we'll discuss the spitting in great depth. I'll even demonstrate some, right? So what happens? Not intentionally, it just kind of happens. So the Gemara says, aval, and there's the kriya, and there's the reading of certain psukim. These are the three parts. What this Mishnah is going to deal with over here is, are all three parts absolutely necessary for a chalitza to be effective? Or is it possible that even if you left out something, the chalitza could still be effective? Says the Gemara, chotz urakika aval okara. If the woman took off the shoe of the man, uraka, and she spit, aval lo kara, but she did not read the psukim, chalitza sekshera, her chalitza is still good. Kara urakika, if she did the kriya and she did the spitting, aval lo chalta, but she did not remove the shoe, then chalitza sepsula, the chalitza is pasul. Chalta kara aval lo urakika, if she went ahead and she removed the shoe, she read the psukim, but she did not spit. See, here we have a machlokes. Rabbi Lazar omer chalitza sepsula. Rabbi Lozer says that the chalitza is pasul. Rabbi Kiva omer chalitza sekshera. Rabbi Kiva says that the chalitza is kasha. So Rabbi Osai, again, so far the one piece that everybody agrees with is the one seemingly dispensable part of chalitza is what? Is the kriya, is the reading of the psukim. Right? That's the one part that everybody agrees that if you leave it out, if you still did the spitting and the removal of the shu, that lamaisa again, the chalitza is still good. Everyone also agrees that lamaisa, again, if you don't have the removal of the shoe, then what? The chalitza is no good. The machloka seems to be in the case of if you didn't have the spitting. What happens if there was no spitting? Rabbi Lazar says not good. Rabbi Akiva says good. Amud Beis. Amarle, Rabbi Lazar. So Rabbi Lazar says, Amarle, Rabbi Lazar, kacha yaseh. Now remember, this quoting over here, the pasuk by chalitza. Kacha ye'aseh le'ish asher lo yivna es beis achiv. This shall be done to the man who will not go ahead and build his brother's home. So the Gemara says, kol davar shu maisa ma'akev. Now what Rav Lozer is picking up on is the pasuk itself says, kacha ye'aseh. This is what must be done. What does it mean, this is what must be done? Every part of this process must be done in order to go ahead and affect chalitza. If you leave one part out, even what? Even just the spitting, then lemaisa, again, the chalitza is not going to be good. Rashi says, kol davar shemaisa, kol davar shemaisa, urikika maisahi. And the spitting itself is a maisa. Now, I will say, Rabbi Lazar must hold, as we'll see this in the Gemara a little bit more explicitly, Rabbi Lazar must hold that what? That the kriya, that the reading is not called a maisa. That's why, again, so Rabbi Lazar's position is anything that's a maisim. I will say, out of the three things that you have to do for chalitza, two of them are maisim, right? The removal of the shul is a maisa, the spitting is a maisa, and bevashos the kriya, but reading is not a maisa. That's how you could dispense with it. Omer Rabbi Kiva says, Misham Raya, is that your proof? Kacha yaseh la'ish, kol davar shu maisa be'ish. Oh, I could say that's what? What's ma'akev? Kacha yaseh la'ish, any maisa that involves the man, so that's going to be something that's ma'akev. That's something that's ma'akev in chalitza. I will say, what's the ma'isa that involves the man in the chalitza process? Only the removal of the shoe. Therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, whether you left out the spitting or whether you left out the reading, the chalitza is going to still be good. You just can't leave out the part that involves the man himself. Next, hachirish shenechlatz, if a chirish, now this will say in this case, the surviving brother who the man, we'll call him the yavam, is a chirish, is a deaf mute. So if a chirish did chalitza, or hachareshes shechalza, or for that matter, the woman is a chareshes. She is the deaf mute. Man is totally fine. She's a deaf mute, and she does chalitza. V'choletzes lekatan, or a woman who did chalitza with a katan. In all of these cases, chalitza sapsula. In all of these cases, Rabbi says the chalitza is not good. Is not good. So the Gemara Rashi says over here, it's interesting, v'chareshes shechalitza chalitza sapsula. He atzma ina niftaris bechalitza. So if the chareshes herself, she does the chalitza, she is not niftaris by this chalitza. K'damrina l'kamon, v'ein la takana ela b'yibum, v'imratza l'hotzi yotzi b'ges. We'll see what to do in this case, because it's interesting. What exactly do you do if you can't do chalitza? And I will say, this comes up also in the cases that we saw yesterday with the amputees, right? Where the opinion of the Mishnah said you can't do chalitza. So we will discuss, like, so what does that mean if you can't do chalitz? Like, what is the status? Well, we know what it means. We know what it means that you could do yibum, right? That's a possibility that's there. What if it doesn't want to do yibum? What happens under those circumstances? So we'll discuss that. So next, so the Gemara says, Ketana shechalatz. If the Ketana did chalitza, so we'll say Ketana obviously is a minor. So if she did chalitza, so that act by itself is meaningless because she is a Ketana. So what does she have to do? Tachlos, misha takdil, she has to do chalitza again when she gets older. V'im lo chalitza, but again, if she did not do chalitza, then chalitza sa psula, then I will say such a chalitza ultimately again is going to be possible. Meaning the chalitza that she did while she was a child is going to be possible. Chalitza bishnayim o bishlosha v'nimtza echad mehem karov o pasal. So we'll say now we're going to get into this interesting case. So what happens now? She does chalitza in front of two people or three people. Rashi says chalitza bishnayim ksherim o begimom v'nimtza echad mehem karov dahadr havalu shnayim chalitza sabsul. So we'll say what happens. So let's say she goes ahead. She goes in and she does chalitza in front of two or three people, and one of them turns out to be a relative or a pasal. Person just invalid to go ahead and serve as edus. Chalitza sapsula. Such a chalitza ultimately is going to be possible. Reb Shimon, Reb Yochanan Sandler machshirin. But Reb Shimon, Reb Yochanan Sandler hold that such a chalitza ultimately again is going to go ahead and be kasher. Well, so we quoted this on Amud Aleph. This we just quoted. Ma'ase be'echad shechalitz bino lebeina beveisasrim. There was an episode of someone who did chalitza between himself. Beinu lebeinu means they did it with one another. There was no one else there in jail. So the Gemara says, "Uba myself to Rabbi Akiva ve'echshar." And this episode came before Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva said that the chalitza is kasher. So we'll say this Mishnah is chock full of incredible information, all about the mechanics. As we all know, the one kind of sometimes frustrating part of Gemara is we're waiting for that Mishnah that says, okay, here's what you do, right? Woman walks into Beis Din. They give her the shoe. But, you know, of course, often that's not how Mishnayos are arranged. That very often we get information in pieces and we kind of piece together that pieces to form the tapestry, what we'll call the procedural tapestry. Procedural tapestry. Thank you. I don't want to say whatever. Okay. Thank you. Right. So again, TM, by the way, TM, right? That's my intellectual property. So again, I'll say, but so what's interesting over here is you do have here in this Mishnah, we are getting a lot of the information here. But again, there are still pieces missing from the beginning part of the process, which we'll see. Says the Gemara, Amarava, Hashta da Amrit Kriya Loma Akva. Now I will say, remember, the first thing everyone agreed with in the Mishnah was what? Was that Lemaisa, Kriya is not Ma'akev. Meaning that if she left out the reading of the Psukim, and we don't know what Psukim she's reading yet, but for the Mishnah told us she's reading Psukim, and we're going to see everybody's reading Psukim. If she doesn't read the Psukim, but what has she done? She's taken off the shoe and she spit. As long as she's done those two out of those three parts, the Chalitza is Kshera. So it says, now that we've established that Kriya is not Ma'akev, Lefichach, therefore, Ilem v'ilemes shechaltzu chalitzas in ksheira. Therefore, Rabbi say, if let's say again, if now this is very interesting, if the yavam or the yavama were mute. Now remember again, under normal circumstances, when the Gemara talks about a cheresh is a deaf mute. Ilem is just a mute. So the Gemara says, now based on the fact that you listen to this idea. Now that you tell me that someone doesn't have to read the Psukim, if you don't read the Psukim, the Chalitza is still kosher. So I would tell you that if someone is mute, they can do Chalitza. Whether he's mute, she's mute, they can do Chalitza. Why? Because you don't need the reading to be done anyway. Tanan, but yet we learned, Cheresh shenechlatz v'achareish shechaltza v'acholetzes min hakadin chalitza sapsula. But yet we learned that Rabbi say what? That if a cheresh or a chareishes try to go ahead and do chalitza, then what? Then what? Then the ma'is again, the chalitza is not good. Now Rabbi say, now why is that? My timer lav mishum d'lo b'nei kriya ninu. So now again, the assumption: why can't the cheresh or a chareishes do chalitza? Rabbi say, we would assume the reason for that is why. Because they can't perform the speaking part of the chalitza. But we just established that what? You don't need the speaking part. Again, Rabbi said, obviously the chatchila, we want you to say the psukim. But by the evidence, we established that even if you can't say the psukim, the chalitza should still be good. If the chalitza is good, even without the speaking parts, then what? Then a cheresh and a chareshes should be able to do chalitza. Why does the Mishnah paskin that they can't? So the Gemara says, my time, the reason why a cheresh and a chareshes can't do chalitza has nothing to do with the fact that they can't read the psukim. Rather, mishum delav b'nei deyaninu. Rabbah said, it's a fundamental difference. Remember, the Gemara works under the assumption that a cheresh, someone who is deaf and mute, is what? Does not lack das. Lacks das. Does not possess intellectual capacity. That's why they can't do anything. Because also, remember, understand, you know, the fact, and this is, I've mentioned this before, how halacha deals with the cheresh today is so radically different than the way the Gemara deals with the cheresh. Because now we know that, again, that a person, Baruch Hashem, could learn, a person could be educated, a person could rise to such incredible intellectual heights, even if they are a deaf mute. But times in the Gemara, a person like this was shut off from the world. So the reason why a cheresh or a chareshes can't do chalitza has nothing to do with the fact that they can't read. It has to do with the fact that they're like a katan, they lack intellectual capacity, therefore the chalitza is meaningless. Iachi, if that's the case, ilem v'ilemes nami. So we'll say, if that's the case, that lemaisa again, that because, so what the Gemara's understanding over here now is the fact that they can't speak, that they represents their lack of intellectual capacity. Well, if that's true, that inability to speak represents lack of intellectual capacity, then what? Then lemaisa and ilem and an ilemes also shouldn't be able to do chalitza. To which the Gemara says, no, you've got it totally wrong. Amarava, ilem v'ilemes b'nei deyaninu. I was saying, no, an ilem and ilemes, someone who's mute, they're b'nei deya, they have das. What's the issue? Upumayhu hu dekoiv lehu. Rav says, interesting. Rather, it's their mouth that hurts them. Now, what do they mean, the mouth that hurts them? What Rav is saying is, being mute is a physical disability, not an intellectual one. Being a chiresh is both a physical and intellectual disability. So where there is an intellectual disability, so such a chalitza is not going to be good at all because a person doesn't have das. But where there is only a physical disability, i.e. they can't speak, but the das is still there, they absolutely could affect chalitza. V'ha omri debei Rabbi Yanai. But yet again, they said in the name of Rabbi Yanai, or they said in the yeshiva Rabbi Yanai, lefi she'eno be amar. Right, look at Rashi for just a moment. Va'amri be Rabbi Yanai, v'taymi defarshu masnisin, dechirish v'chareshes, v'pnei she'eno be va'amar va'amra. But yet in the yeshiva Rabbi Yanai, they explain that the reason why chirish can't do chalitza is why? Because, seemingly because they can't speak. So using that logic, that it's all about speaking, then what? Then lemaisa again, if it's all about speaking, excuse me, let me say that differently. In the yeshiva of Rabbi Yanai, they said that the reason why a chirish and a chareshes can't do chalitza is because they can't speak. If that's the case, that it's about inability to verbally articulate, then what? Then even an ilim and ilem should not be able to do chalitza as well. Ela ki itmar derava, rather, when was Rava's statement made? When was Rava's statement made? Must remember, Rava was the one who said that an ilim and an ilemes should be kosher for chalitza. Rather, Rava was talking about on the seifa, the end of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, so look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi says over here, no, not yet, I'm sorry. Rather, when was Rava's statement made? Rava's statement was made ultimately on the Seifa. Itmar, cheresh shenechlatz, v'achareshes shechalza, v'acholetzes min ha-katan. Ha-choletzes min ha-katan, Rava says, this is the Seifa. What did the Seifa say? The cheresh does chalitza, or the chareshes does chalitza, or if a woman does chalitza with a katan, chalitzes apsula. All of these cases are possible. Why? Amar Rava, hashta de amrit kriya me'akva. Now that we've said that, what? That kriya is me'akev, meaning based on the end of this Mishnah, where we say that a chereish and a chareshes can't do chalitza, the assumption is what? The automatic assumption is because they can't read the psukim. So Rav says, now that you're telling me that they can't do chalitza because they can't read the psukim, that means kriya is me'akev. Therefore, lefichach ilim ve'ilemes shechalzu chalitza simsula. Therefore, again, we should say that what? That a ilim and an ilemes that did chalitza, their chalitza should be puzzle. Why? Because the mice at the end of the day, they were unable to read. Umas nisin k'rabi zera. Oh, but our Mishnah refers to Rabbi Zera. What does Rabbi Zera say? The Amr, kol ha-ro'i. So we'll say, now here's the problem. We have two contradictory inferences. From the beginning of the Mishnah, what could we infer? That kriya is not ma'akev. By the way, it's not just an inference. It's an explicit statement of fact. The Mishnah says, if you went ahead and you omitted the psukim, then what? The chalitza is still good. But from the end of the Mishnah that says that what? That if a chirish or a chareshes did chalitza, the chalitza is not good. That we would assume that why? Why? Because they weren't able to say anything. They weren't able to articulate the psukim. And because articulation is a necessity, therefore an idem and an ilemes should also not be able to do chalitza. So what's going on over here? To which the Gemara says, listen to this. Our Mishnah refers to Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira, kalaroi lebila in bila ma'akevesbo. V'chol she'in roi lebila in bila ma'akevesbo. So we'll say, this is a fascinating cloud. We've seen it before. This is actually a concept stated by Karban Mincha. The halacha is you have a Karban Mincha, which is a carbon that is made from flour and oil, technically speaking, the mincha is supposedly mixed up. But if you did not mix it up, if you did not mix it, so the mincha is still okay. Rabbi Zira says, well, it depends. If you went ahead and if the receptacle is so full with flour and oil that if you tried to mix it, it would overflow, you couldn't mix it, then that's where mixing is ma'akev. But if you could have mixed it normally but didn't mix it, then mixing is not ma'akev. Also, in other words, what Rabbi Zira espouses is the following principle. Anytime that you need something to be done, as long as there's the possibility of doing it, then even if you didn't do it, that process is not ma'akev. However, again, if the performance of the process were impossible, then its lack of performance is what? Is ma'akev. So in other words, that's another way of saying, a simple way of saying is, if you're able to speak, but you don't, your lack of recitation of the psukim does not negate the process. But if you are unable to go ahead and speak, then your inability to speak, in fact, is ma'akif. So in other words, what Rabbi Zira is really saying over here is what we need over here is your ability to say the psukim. As long as you have the ability to say the psukim, even if what? Even if what? Even if you don't actually say it, so the chalitza is good. But if you have an inability to say the psukim, then what? Then lemaisa, again, your inability is ma'akev. Shalcholei lavod Shmuel. Well, let's just read a few more lines. So they sent to the father of Shmuel, Yivam Mishraka, called Tachlots. So this is interesting. So in this case, of Yivam Mishraka lefnei Beisdin. Let's say a Yivama just spit at her brother-in-law. Right? I mean, they got into a fight, right? They got into a fight, and she just spit at him. So they said, so they sent the father of Shmuel that if she does that, we say, all right, you already initiated the process of chalitza, let's finish it off. Meaning at that point in time, she no longer has the ability to choose to do yibum, we just got to do chalitza. Mechlal, the if salam, and achin, what this seems to indicate is what? Is that lemaisa, the act of spitting itself renders her unfit from doing gibum with the brothers. Gemara says, "Money, whose opinion is this?" Ilim Rabbi Akiva. If you want to say it's Rabbi Akiva, Hashta Uma b'Makom Mitzvah de'ikala Meimar Midi Dehavi Aymurim Dechi Lesnu Lo Ma'akvi Dechi Isnu Ma'akvi Am Rabbi Akiva Lo Ma'akva Me'achin. If so, so we'll say, listen to this. Now this is talking out of if you look at Rashi, Aymurim Dechi Isnu Ma'akvi Basra Me'achila. Listen to this. Rabbi Akiva holds in the case of sacrificial parts. So the halacha is that when you offer a karban, if there are parts that have to be burned on the mizbeach, you have to burn those parts in order for you to eat. But if for some reason those parts went missing, you could still eat the karban even though you haven't sacrificed the parts. So what the Gemara saying over here is like this. That Rabbi Akiva is the one who holds that lamay when those sacrificial parts are not there, they're not ma'akiv the karban. But when they're there, they are ma'akiv. But yet, I'm Rabbi Akiva lo ma'akva. Rabbi Akiva still holds in that case that even if the sacrificial parts are there, but yet you didn't burn them, it still doesn't preclude you from going ahead and eating the karban. Me'achin ifsala, are you going to go ahead and be puzzled from the achin just because she spit? In other words, according to Rabbi Akiva, that lemaisa, when you have a process, actually, we'll say, you know what we're going to do? We're gonna stop over here. We're going to stop at Shalcholei Lavod Shmuel because I'm not going to do this part justice. So I'll say, so again, we stopped over here. Shalcholei Lavod Shmuel 2, 4, 6, 8. Oh, it's a far way up. Okay, but we'll stop over here nevertheless. So I'll say, remember, again, so just to summarize what we have over here so far. So number one, we got that you have to chalitza by day. Chalitza at night is possible. That's piece number one. Piece number two, we've established that you have to chalitza with the left. You have to chalitza with the right. You can't do chalitza with the left. Next, we've established that lemaisa. Going back a little bit more, you can't use a sandal muska or a sandal mukhlat, but if you used either of them, they are good b'di'eved, and you can't use a sandal that was pledged for avodah zara or that was used for avodah zara or a sandal of a ir nidachas. Furthermore, we learned that lemaisa, if she did three chalitzas comprised of three processes, right? Removal of the shoe, spitting, recitation of verses. Everyone agrees that lemaisa, if you don't have recitation of verses, you are okay. Everyone agrees that if you don't have removal of the shoe, you are okay. Machlokes about the cases if you don't have spitting. Rabbi Loza says the chalitza is not good. Rabbi Akiva says the chalitza is still good. And now the sugya. If you don't have the shoe, it's not okay. I'm sorry, if you don't have the shoe, it is not okay. Everyone agrees, if no shoe, not okay. What happens if there's no spitting? You have shoe, you have recitation, no spitting. That's where you have a machlokes. Rabbi Elazar says the chalitza is pasul. Rabbi Akiva says the chalitza is kosher. Where we're ending off over here, or we're ending off over here, is the interesting case of a yevama that spit, but not for the sake of affecting yibum, but rather stam she just spit. What are the ramifications of that for her on the chalitza process? All right, so stop over here. Shekoyach.